Hey, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever you're watching this. Welcome to the Morning Manna podcast. I'm Pastor Greg, coming to you from Lighthouse Church in Twin Falls, Idaho. Glad that you've joined me. And we are going through the book of Psalms, and they're very, they're intimate, they're devotional, and the thrust of the Psalms is really developing our relationship with the Lord, an honest and a candid relationship with the Lord, because that's what we see from the psalmist. And so I'm glad you've joined us. So we're going to do Psalm 6 this morning, a Psalm of David. And so David finds himself in a tough place in life, as is often the case in the Psalms. And from this tough place, he works through his thoughts and his emotions to arrive at clarity and truth with the Lord. And so let's begin. The introduction says, "To the choir master with stringed instruments, according to the Sheminith, a psalm of David." So note a choir and instruments. So this was happening in David's time, 1000 BC, as a part of the worship of Yahweh God, is that there was musical instruments and singers who would lead the worship of the congregation. Then it says a Sheminith, and that's an interesting word. As near as we can tell, it's a musical term that means eight and perhaps is related to octave. And so, you know, for those who argue against music and instrumentation and whatever, listen, the Psalms confront us with the centrality of music in the worship of the Lord. And it's a real feature. So now David says in verse 1, "O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath." So I want you to carefully notice with me that David is not saying, "Don't rebuke me, don't chasten me, just don't do so in your wrath." And as a matter of fact, rebuke, when it comes from somebody who loves us and somebody who's wise, is a blessing. It says in Proverbs 27:5, "Better is open rebuke than hidden love." Right? I mean, open rebuke, we benefit from that. That informs me. It helps me see something that's out of bounds in my life. And we've all had those, you know, types of things, and maybe have some now, where if somebody doesn't, you know, come and say, "Hey, Fadness, you know, you're out of line here. Like, this isn't right," then and we still have a relationship and they don't talk to me about it. Well, the open rebuke is better than the hidden love, you see. It says in Ecclesiastes 7:5, "It's better for a man to hear the rebuke of the wise than the song of fools." So listen, rebukes sting. They do, because we're being confronted with ourselves and our behaviors. And so it can be, you know, humbling and you know, and so on. So, but what David is saying to the Lord is, "Lord, rebuke me not in your anger." Because your anger would add sting to the rebuke that I just can't bear. "Lord, I need to know. I want your rebuke, but I want it to come from your love." Now, Hebrews 12 says, "The Lord loves or chastens whom he loves." So that's the thing, is that, listen, God's chastening of us, his rebuke of us, is always coming from a place of mercy and love. And still, it's not pleasant, you know, but don't add the sting to the rebuke by thinking that God is angry with you. Listen, all of God's anger was satisfied at the cross, where Jesus drank the cup of the wine of God's indignation against sin. Jesus drank it all. So, Christian, you may be going through a hard time right now, and you are being disciplined by your Father. Please know that He loves you. He loves you. He's not mad at you. Not at all. It goes on, "Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I'm languishing. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are troubled." So there's physical suffering going on here. He's speaking of physical ailments. "Lord, and I need your grace and I need you to heal me." But he also talks about emotional sickness. Verse 3, "My soul is also greatly troubled. But you, O Lord, how long?" So I'm suffering physically, I'm suffering emotionally. Oh Lord, how long? When is a new day going to dawn for me? Verse 4, "Turn, O Lord, deliver my life. Save me for the sake of your steadfast love. For in death there's no remembrance of you. In Sheol, who will give praise to you?" So David is asking for deliverance. And it's interesting, he's not asking for deliverance based upon his worthiness. He's not saying, "Deliver me, God, because I've been such a good follower, such a good servant of yours." No, he says, "Do it for your steadfast love. Do it because you're going to look good by saving me. And I can't really do you much good when I'm in the grave. Nobody's praising you from the grave." Now, interesting thing, you know, in the Old Testament, what happened after death was pretty murky in the minds of God's people. There wasn't a lot of light. So Sheol, this kind of mysterious underworld, was just sort of a fuzzy idea. And they didn't have the benefit that we have in the New Testament on this side of the cross. For instance, it says in 2 Timothy 1:10, which says, "Which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death," and listen to this, "and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." Life and immortality was brought to light. It was brought out into the open through the gospel. And so we have so much more clarity about what happens when a believer, a follower of Jesus, dies. To be absent from the body is what? It's to be present with the Lord. You can go to 1 Corinthians 15 and read all about the resurrected, glorified body that we're going to have. And there's so much detail in the New Testament, but not so in the Old Testament. So David's going, "Man, if I die, if you don't deliver me and I just die, well, I'm going to be in Sheol and I can't really praise you down there. At least nobody will hear it." So he's asking for deliverance. Verse 6, "I'm weary with my moaning. Every night I flood my bed with tears. I drench my couch with my weeping. My eyes waste away because of grief. It grows weak because of all my foes." So now David's just pouring out his complaint to the Lord. Like, "Man, life stinks right now." Verse 8. "Depart from me, all of you workers of evil, for the Lord has heard the sound of my weeping." I love that. I love that. See, this is a pattern in the Psalms. David, you know, just pouring out his heart and describing his troubles and pleading with God, and even just, you know, pouring out his complaint. The contents of his heart are just being poured out, and then breakthrough. "The Lord has heard the sound of my weeping." David received assurance. He now sees himself as God's son once again. He's He's broken through the overwhelming emotions, and his heart is now settled. So he goes on, "The Lord has heard my plea. The Lord accepts my prayer. All my enemies shall be ashamed and greatly troubled, and they shall turn back and be put to shame in a moment." I was doubting all of that maybe for a little while because things were so out of whack in my life and I'm going through such a hard time. But through prayer and seeking the Lord, man, I understand. I am the Lord's son. He does love me. He has heard my prayer. My enemies are not going to prosper. Hey, listen, thank you for joining me today. And may the Lord encourage you today in your walk with him. God bless you.